grace, mercy, and peace be yours in the knowledge of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson read a few minutes ago. Some people, maybe quite a few, find this text challenging. Now, the challenge is not in the meaning. Jesus is quite plain. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, offer him the other. If they take your coat, offer your jacket. Give to those who ask. Lend without expecting repayment. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Instead, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Jesus' instruction about your life, and it is your life, this is instruction for all the people of God, is quite clear here. There's no challenge in understanding Jesus' meaning. No, the challenge is, of course, in what Jesus is asking for. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Give to everyone who asks. Now, one of the challenges here, or to get at the challenge, one way of seeing it is a matter of framing. From what perspective are you looking at this? Maybe you've been in a Bible study, perhaps you've heard a sermon, maybe you've done this in your own devotional reading. Consider, you're reading along and you consider, I have to love her. What about that guy? I know he just wastes the money I give. I've lent to him all sorts of times. I don't expect the money back, but really? The things he spends it on? Now, those are not illegitimate questions, but note the frame. It's from your perspective. What it costs you. What you have to give up. Now, I mention the framing because Jesus himself provides framing for his own instruction. Why should you love your enemies? Why should you pray for those who persecute you? Why should you give to those who ask? Well, it's about how you're going to be treated. Why should you not judge? Why should you not condemn? Why instead should you forgive? Why should you give? Because by the measure you use, it'll be used on you. Whatever you want others to do for you, do also for them. That's one way in which Jesus frames this. Not in terms of what it might cost you, not in what you might suffer, not in terms of what you might lose, but rather in how you will be treated. If you want people to be generous and kind, if you want people to be gracious and merciful, be generous and kind. Be gracious and merciful. However you would like people to treat you, treat them. The measure you use will be used on you. So that's one way in which Jesus frames it. But he has a second frame. If you love just those who love you, what's the big deal? Even sinners do that. And by sinners, he meant here Israelites who lived with open, clear disregard for following the law of Moses. We're not just talking about people who fail to do this or don't do that. We're talking about people who are outcasts. Even they love those who love them. If you lend only to those who you know you're going to get back, sinners do that. Don't be a sinner. Be like God. be like your Father. Because that's ultimately what is behind all of this, God's own mercy for you. God is your Father. He made himself your Father in baptism. When Jesus was in the Jordan and was baptized, God himself spoke and called Jesus his Son and gave him his Holy Spirit. And that's what happened when you were baptized, according to the command and institution of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you are sons of the Most High. You are children of God. God is your Father. And that's a good and great thing. Martin Luther expressed it beautifully when he explained, "Our Father who art in heaven." God would, by these words, tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his true children. That is what you are. You have the right to go to God. You have the right to follow God. You have inheritance from God. Everything that is God will be yours. Think of that frame. And that's what Jesus proposes. If you love your enemies, if you do good, if you lend without expecting repayment, you'll be sons of the Most High. You'll be real children of God. You will be what you are. Just as your Father is merciful, so also you. The frame's important. Frames are always important. This is talked a lot about by cognitive linguists and psychologists and philosophers, and it's pretty subtle. Here's one, an example from George Lakoff, who talks a lot about this, talking about taxes. Imagine a politician runs on this promise: I'm going to give you tax relief. But what's the frame? Well, if taxes are a burden, they are an affliction. Now, suppose someone thinks that's a bad idea. Don't run on being against tax relief. You have to change the frame. Frames matter. Now, I noticed when we were starting this service, we confessed, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." That's a frame. Now, I understand, you know perfectly well, summa justus et peccator, simultaneously saint and sinner. But the frame that our Lord is putting out here is that you are children of God. You are sons of the Most High. Tax relief means nothing for those who can pay it. Tax relief means nothing for those for whom they have more money than they can spend. And you, as children of God, you who have God as Father, have far more riches. You have nothing to lose by loving your enemies. You have nothing to lose. Nothing at all to lose by loving those who hate you, blessing those who curse you, by lending to those you're not going to get anything back from. You have nothing to lose because all is yours already. Your Father was and is merciful to you. Your Father has given you promises that you can't imagine how they'll pay off. They will be great. They will be wonderful. Now with that, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, give to those who ask, be generous, be kind. God was kind and generous to those who are ungrateful and wicked. Be the same. Don't judge, don't condemn. Forgive, give. Because you are children of God. Be children of God, full of kindness and mercy and generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue with the offertory hymn.